Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. It is a poem about the very wisdom that informs the passage you just heard. This is the third of a series of sermons on theologies of creation as described in the Old Testament, using those theologies of creation as a window or a doorway into thinking about the relationship between what we know through science and what we know through faith. So today, a story of creation we don't always recognize as such, about the role of wisdom in the beginning of all things. From Proverbs 8, the first person, I, is wisdom herself. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts, long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When God had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when God established the heavens, I was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when God made firm the skies above, when God established the fountains of the deep, when God assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God like a master worker. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Amen. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be receptive to thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. I'm going to begin this morning by describing something that I have no hope of ever understanding, and about which I have very little clue at all. You might say, so what else is new, Wes? It may be so. But this time I'm going to jump off the cliff. I'm going to talk to you about quantum mechanics. Ever heard the term? Physicists among you, and I know that there are many, many, will very likely need to be very patient as I flop around in this, but I hope I won't be too wrong. Quantum mechanics is the label given to how physics is now describing the nature of things. It is a new paradigm in science, coming alongside the now more complicated idea that there are fixed laws of nature that are true everywhere and anywhere in the known universe. I mean, we have intuitions about how the world works, don't we? If you drop a crystal vase, it will fall to the floor and shatter. If you push a skateboard down the street, it will roll. If you walk into a door without opening it, you will hit your head. These assumptions are based on laws that we take for granted. Gravity makes things drop. Energy makes something move. And two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. Yet at the turn of the last century, the assumption that these rules apply with perfect consistency everywhere began to crack a bit as scientists started thinking about ultra, ultra small things like atoms and electrons and light waves. Things started looking a bit more unpredictable. And new laws had to be found to make sense of things that just didn't seem to make much sense anymore. Names like Max Planck and Albert Einstein and Niels Bohr entered our list of teachers. One of the first discoveries in this new way of seeing things was that light is at least two things at the same time. It is a wave, and it is also a particle. And you can't say that it is one thing at one time and another at another time. It is both at the same time. It only appears to be one or the other when someone tries to look at it. Another discovery was that of those subatomic particles moving inside the atom. Now, in the 1960s, when I was taught this, I was taught that there were three parts of the atom, right? Now we know that there are at least 200 of them. If they are more than one thing at once, then we never quite know what they're doing. In scientific terminology, they are fuzzy. They smear, is another word. They smear and don't always do what we predict they will. This led to Werner Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which is that if a looker wants to measure both position and speed of one of these tiny, tiny, tiny particles, she cannot accurately determine both at the same time. It's because of that smearing. And it is not just because we don't know how to measure them. It is more fundamental than that. It is in the nature of things. Now, everyone nod knowingly, as if you perfectly understand what I've been saying. That's good. I see it. And so let me try one more thing on this before moving to Scripture. And that is a word or two about a strange connection that appears in this now quantum universe of ours. It is what scientists call an interconnectedness among things that transcends even space itself. It was seen by Einstein and described by Brian Greene as an instantaneous bond between what happens at widely separated locations. Two things can be far apart in space, but still act like they are the same thing. Subatomic particles can spin clockwise or counterclockwise when joined together, and then when completely separated and long distance apart, they can still coincide in their spinning. One changes direction, and the other one does too. Brian Greene says that these particles can act like a pair of magical dice, one thrown in Atlantic City and the other thrown in Las Vegas, and each randomly comes up with one number or the other, and the other one comes up with exactly the same number every time. It is called entanglement. Like faith, it seems that quantum mechanics is also dwelling in mystery, which takes us back to Scripture, to the book of Proverbs. Here is a book that is collected from writings over the course of Israel's early history. It is full of short quips and moral lessons and longer poems, all to describe the soil of wise living. There are mundane lessons there about economic justice, about parenting advice. There's even some marriage tips, if you're interested. And there are lofty metaphysics, like the passage that you heard read from chapter 8. It is all meant to feed the search for wisdom, which the book believes we should do all of our lives. Bill Brown calls chapter 8 the climax of a longer poem to wisdom. It describes wisdom as not just the intellectual ground of human life. It describes it as the ether, the wisp, the pre-existing stuff that God first created and with which God continued to create. The story of creation here is not interested in sequence or purpose like Genesis 1. It is not interested in human beginnings the way Genesis 2 is. This passage in Proverbs is more interested in the dynamic of creation, in the warp and the woof of it, and it is wisdom that Proverbs puts there. So this wisdom is more than a knack for using knowledge well. Wisdom is that for sure, but here in this poem, wisdom is active and independent. She is alive. She interacts with God, and she is the very stuff of stuff. She's a sort of energy with a personality, if you will. And she speaks in the first person. When God established the heavens, I was there, she says. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when God made the firm skies above, when God established the fountains of the deep, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God like a master worker, and I was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world and delighting in the human race. This is a remarkable statement. For to say that wisdom was beside God as God created the heavens and the earth is to say that creation itself is intelligible. It is understandable. Understanding is part of creation. What science has called the laws of nature are here called God's wisdom. And wisdom is not indifferent. We use these laws to create a livable world. But while these laws guide the universe on a large scale, this whole quantum theory business has shown us how on the very smallest level of things, stuff can get kind of quirky, even playful. Playful. Now I know that to call this playful is to give it human qualities, but that's just what the author of Proverbs does to wisdom. For the wisdom honored in Proverbs, like the stuff of nature in quantum mechanics, is both a first child, dutiful, partner to God's creation, and at the same time a youngest child, rebellious and unpredictable. Wisdom brings the two together to allow life and growth, sometimes like a particle, sometimes like a wave, and always dancing about. Maybe the author of Proverbs 8 was a physicist, after all. So where are we? I've stumbled through a bit of how science describes the mechanics of creation, and in a pretty simple way, I've tried to tie that to the vision of Proverbs 8. Now let me get down a little lower still, down into our own lives. And I'll try to get there by going back to that quirky idea called entanglement. Physics sees something that lives inside the laws of nature, but seems willing to defy those laws. It is the connection, or the interconnectedness that I talked about when somehow those tiniest of particles once together and then separated can continue to affect each other. Those dice in Atlantic City and in Las Vegas that keep coming up with the same number over and over again. Einstein called it spooky. Proverbs calls it playful. The New Testament might call it grace when it is mediated by God. There is more to our connection to ourselves and to each other and to nature and to God than the simple laws of nature can ever fully describe. The supernatural is natural. It's not magic. It is intelligible, understandable mystery. You and I need three things, I think, for a livable, faithful life. We need order. We need a pattern of living that lets us build tomorrow on today's experience, to grow, to develop, to remember, and to plan. Stability is a condition for sanity. And each one of us would do better if and when we have rituals and behaviors in our lives that make the world a home for us and give us identity and allow us to trust. Yet we also realize that order and stability alone are not enough to give us the full and God-filled life that we are made for. The wisdom that we need doesn't just hold and control life. It delights and relishes in life. And it does that not just for us, but for all of creation, for roaring lions and breaching whales and flapping ostriches and flowering plants. Life requires playfulness and surprise and wonder and love. And that takes us to that third thing that we need, which is that thing called entanglement. For you see, when the Hebrew of Proverbs was translated by the Greeks back in the 3rd century before Christ, the Greeks interpreted one of the verses differently than the translators of our Bible did. It's verse 30. You heard it like this. When God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God like a master worker. The Greeks translated master worker differently, as if the master worker is in fact the mortar or the stuff in between. It said this, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God binding together. In that view, there is a binding and dynamic force behind all that is, entangling and connecting things like mortar between the bricks. And the theological word I used for that, grace, God's Spirit binding together. We need order and the past. We also need playfulness and a future. And we need a connecting grace or energy that moves like a thing and like a wave through our lives, making things happen. This grace lets us do more than just try to preserve the past or mourn its loss. It lets us step out to heal the past and to grow out of it and let it go for the sake of an open future that none of us will predict or create on our own. So how do you find that in your own life? Are you secure enough and stable enough to be playful and open without needing to get your own way all the time or command the future? Are you confident that the one who held you and knew you at your very beginning, even before human hands ever held you, that one who knows you still gives wisdom enough to take you through whatever you're living through? Can you let things go that might be hard to let go? So you can accept what is and what is to come, entangled up in grace. That is the entanglement of faith, particle, wave, binding mystery. And it is the stuff in which we live, and it is the power of the one whose coming we will celebrate at Christmas. Amen.